Whew. Wow. Children are released. Kelly and the children, right? Oh, they're already down. All right. They're ready to go. They're ready to rip it up down there in Jesus' name. Rip up the devil's stuff. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. I got a full 10 pager today. Sit back and relax. Take it all in. Listen to it later. Take notes, right? Whatever you got to do. But this is going to be a powerful message. Jeremiah 29:11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Real quick, go back to Proverbs chapter 3. These two passages were just so fitting with the kickoff of what this message is about. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, most of us know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Today I have a message that the Holy Spirit, I literally know, the Holy Spirit downloaded this message into my spirit within about 15 minutes of praying here in the spirit, in the sanctuary on Friday. I know it was from the Holy Spirit because of this reason. It came by revelation. I wasn't even thinking about a specific topic. You know what I'm talking about? I went into prayer. I like to say it this way: with a neutral mind. Say neutral. What does that mean? You're ready to receive whatever the Holy Spirit wants to give you. And when the revelation came about this topic and the specific points, it just felt right on the inside. That's how you know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's when you know he's speaking to you. It feels like, here's a good way to explain it. It's like a free flow of thought in your thought life that you're not doing yourself. He's inserting revelation into your thoughts. Does that make sense? Kenneth E. Hagin explained it like this. He explained that feeling this way. It's like having that velvety feeling on the inside. That velvety, he said, it just feels good. It feels right on the inside. You have peace about it. Well, the Holy Spirit gave me 3 points to share with you that I believe is going to be an absolute blessing to you. It was to me as I was writing it. That's how you know that the pastor's not making up his own sermon. It's coming from the Holy Spirit when he's being blessed by it. Amen? It's coming from the Holy Ghost, not James Brandt. These 3 points will give you more clarity to what is lacking or off in your life that needs to be put in order or that needs to align with the will of God. Here's the title of my message. Some of you seen it through the Remind Me and Facebook today. It's this: Reasons for Failure and Lack. Reasons for Failure and Lack. Every person on the face of this earth will at some point, probably pretty quick, you will experience lack and failure in your life. Anybody experienced that yet in your life? Yeah, right? Oh, whoa, nobody? Okay, well, I guess I'm preaching to the wrong crowd today then. My, the Holy Spirit wants to help, and he wants to teach us all today to recognize the dynamics that were involved or that caused that failure or lack in our life. And he wants us to correct it. Not only correct what happened, but he wants us to avoid that for the future. Amen? The Holy Spirit is our helper, and he wants to zoom in. He wants us to zoom in on this topic to help us prevent needlessly falling into failure and lack in our life. Before I get into these 3 specific points from the Holy Spirit, we must understand this one important thing about failure and lack. Ready? It's a personal issue. Say personal issue. I'm not talking about what someone did. I'm talking about your own personal responsibility in the matter. We need to stop blaming others for our failures and lack. Amen? Quit blaming others. We need to take personal responsibility. If we were to dissect every case where we failed in something or lacked something, it can always be traced back to something we did or didn't do personally. Man, kids, listen, all you kids, listen to this. I wish I heard this message back when I was your age. Amen? It's time, like I said, for us all to take personal responsibility for our life and the direction of our life. The beautiful thing about failure and lack in our life from our past and things that we've been through, we can learn from our mistakes. Amen? We can learn from them, and not just learn, we learn from them so we can bounce back. We can bounce back from them. It's never too late with the help of the Holy Spirit and his leading. Amen? We can turn it into a Romans 8:28 bounce back. That all things work together for the good to those that love God and that are called according to his purpose. Amen? So there is no such thing as a hopeless case as long as this. Your will is into it. If your will is into it, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Now, if you just give up and roll over, it's hopeless. Amen? The Holy Spirit is willing to help us, but we must cooperate with his guidance, with his leading, come on, and his correction. How many of you know the Holy Spirit corrects too? He doesn't just lead and guide, he corrects. Thank God for that, right? I want to learn from my mistakes. I don't know about you, but I want to learn from my mistakes. So we have a significant role to play in this thing we call life on this earth, right? Here we go. The first point the Holy Spirit gave me for why failure and lack take place in our life is due to our personal sin, specifically unconfessed sin. Say unconfessed sin. Go to Proverbs 28. This message is not meant to hit anybody over the head. This is meant to help. Amen. Proverbs 28, 13 through 14. Unconfessed sin, you basically activated spiritual laws in your life in the wrong direction. You get it? Proverbs 28, 13 through 14. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man or person who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. The word of God distinguishes a person, ready for this? A person who covers their sin with the person who confesses or says, yeah, I sinned, and they forsake it. There's two kinds of people. You're either covering your sin or you're confessing it and forsaking it. I want you to notice that, again, it's a personal issue. Do you see that? You can't blame anyone for that. Anyone who covers your sin, it's personal, right? You can't blame your sin on other people or even demons because, as I say all the time from this pulpit, you know, ultimately, it was us giving into or yielding to the wrong influence, right? It took, you could say it this way. It took your permission, ready, to turn a temptation into sin. Let me say it again. It took your permission, my permission, to take a temptation and turn it into actual sin. You know, temptation's not a sin. You understand that? Jesus lived a sinless life, but he was tempted. Are you following me? It isn't sin until you actually act on it. So listen to this. So what is covering your sin then? Covering your sin is talking about either making excuses for sinning or trying to blame it on someone else. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? Isn't that what Eve did, right? Oh, it was the serpent that made me do this, right? No. Take responsibility for your own actions, right? The Word of God is very clear that if we try to cover our own sin, it will prevent us from prospering in our life. Very clear. The Holy Spirit's trying to help us today, by the way. Amen? Listen to this. And part of the reason that it will ultimately prevent us from prospering in life is found in verse 14, where it says, it will cause us to have a hardened heart. You know, verse 14, a lot of people read 13 and 14 as separate messages, but it's not. It's a continuation. Okay, you try to cover your sin, it's going to have a hardened heart. You're going to have a hardened heart on the inside. You understand what I'm saying? They're not separate. If we have a hardened heart, we will then be more in tune with our fleshly nature or desires and the enemy, more than our born-again spirit and the Holy Spirit. That's the problem with a hardened heart. You block your spiritual ears and spiritual eyes. You're actually going to hear and be more conscious of the enemy, the wrong thing. Remember, the Word of God reveals to us that out of the heart flows what? The issues of life. And so in other words, every area of our life is a manifestation, or you could say it this way, is a manifestation or a snapshot of the condition of our heart. Are you following me? It's a manifestation. Whatever's going on in your heart, that's what's going to be projected on the outside in your life. Now listen to this. Covering your sins, it means that you're trying to justify your sin. There is a, you could say it this way, there's a pride attached. There is a pride that's preventing you from being teachable, from being meek. Remember what meek means? Ready for this? Being easily imposed upon for correction. Sin needs to be, by the way, here, don't ever forget this. Ready for this? Sin needs to be washed away by the blood of Jesus, not covered by pride. Let me say that again. Sin needs to be washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not covered up by our pride. Covering your sin is a lack of awareness of the depth and the danger of your sin in your own life. And by the way, even our own personal sin, it can negatively affect other people. Amen? So at the root of covering your sin and having a hardened heart on the inside is really this. Are you ready? It's a failure. Say failure. To walk in love toward God, toward yourself, and toward others. Covering your sin, let me say it again, covering your sin and having a hardened heart is a failure to walk in love toward God, toward yourself, yes, yourself, and toward other people. You have failed to operate in the boundaries of the spiritual law of love. Say love. God commands us to walk in love, and that will always invite, if we're not walking in love, guess what? It's always going to invite failure. It's always going to invite lack into our life. Because why? Faith works by love. Remember talking about that? Faith works by love, and they both must be active in your life. Amen? Now, what does the word prosper mean? Let's talk about that a little bit. What in the Word of God, the word prosper means this. It means to succeed or be successful, or it means to break through or to press forward. Or it means have a successful journey. How many of you want a successful journey on this earth? I know I do. It really means to live a life in accordance with God's principles and His Word. For us to avoid failure and lack in our life, we need God's blessing. We need God's favor. We need His presence on our actions, on our plans, on our spoken words, and on our life in general. That's why Moses understood that when he said, Lord, I don't even want to go anywhere unless your presence goes with me. That's what he understood. So everything we do, we are seeking to have God's blessing and favor upon it all. And just like Moses, if it doesn't, we need to say, I'm not leaving this house until I get my heart right and I have your favor, I have your presence on everything I think, say, and do. Amen? Go to Joshua 1:9. Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9. Hallelujah. I'm talking about reasons for failure and lack today. The Holy Spirit wants to help us out. Isn't it good He wants us to help us out? That means He must not want us to fail. He doesn't want us to have lack in our life. Amen? He's a good God. Look at this, Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, and I have given you, as I have said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. These are pretty good promises, aren't they? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Here we go. Come on, we're getting into it now. God's starting to give some instructions. Pay attention. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God wants you to prosper. This book of the law, here's the one, verse 8, everyone knows this one, right? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, say then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The key to success is having God go with you wherever you go. Think about that. Listen to this. God was commissioning Joshua as the successor of Moses, as the new leader. God desired for Joshua to succeed and prosper. Come on, not only in his personal life, but also as a leader to others. Amen? To the children of Israel. Because the advancement of God's will depended on it. Hello, somebody. This is not just about us. God wants you to prosper. Are you ready? So that his kingdom will prosper. God wants you to prosper. Ready? So other people won't go to hell in the lake of fire for eternity. God wants you to prosper to make disciples so they can get people born again. Are you following? You see how God has a little skin in the game here, doesn't he? God desires his children to prosper and succeed in life, in their calling and purpose on this earth, all right? He has a future and a hope for us. The only variable is this. Are you ready? It all comes down to this. Are you willing to align with the plans and purposes of God in your personal life? Guess who the variable is? Take your finger and just go right like that. You're the variable. God's mind's already made up. He wants you and I to prosper. Amen? You and I are the variable factor. It's up to us. Failure and lack in our life is a result of us, again, not aligning. Say aligning. Aligning. I really like that word, aligning. Yeah. Not aligning with the plans and purposes of God for our life. It's really that simple. It's really that basic. If you do life God's way, say God's way. He will open doors of success and supply the provision to fulfill it, hands down. Amen. You will be on God's payroll because you're fulfilling his purpose on this earth. You're advancing his kingdom purpose. How many of you want to be on God's payroll? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And because you are fulfilling his purpose for your life, you will be filled with peace and joy. You will be able to lay your head down at night and sleep peacefully. How many, anybody having trouble sleeping lately? Put your hand down. No, I'm just. Because he gives his beloved sweet sleep according to the word of God. Amen. You are trusting in the Lord with all your heart, and you're not leaning on your own understanding. You are leaning on God, which is a firm foundation. Say firm foundation. When your flesh tells you to go one way, the way of sin, you choose to go God's way, the way of righteousness. Amen? Why? Because that's what you were created to do. and it releases peace. It releases joy. I want you to notice in Joshua 1 that God told Joshua several times, and he's telling it to us as well because it's in his word, to be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Oh, how the enemy likes to hit us with all of those things, doesn't he? Listen to this. This reveals some key points to us. If God is telling us to be strong, be courageous in what he's telling us here, it reveals this. Ready? To stay aligned with God's plans and purposes for our life. It will many times take us to be strong and to have courage and to don't give in to the temptation of discouragement. Ready? There will always be a temptation to veer away from the will of God for your life. There will always be that temptation. And that's why God is giving us and why he gave Joshua that admonition in the word. Because there's always going to be that temptation to veer away. When we obey God, we are going against the flow of this evil and corrupt world system. There will always be a resistance. That's why strength and courage are needed to fulfill the will of God. To stay in the will of God. How many of you know some people jump in the will of God and then they jump out? They don't stay there very long. But it takes strength and it takes courage to stay in the will of God. When everyone's telling you to do something else, when people are making fun of you for fulfilling the will of God. Come on, kids, are you hearing me? Yes. Listen to this. There is worldly success and prosperity, which is an absolute letdown and unfulfilling. Let me say it again. There is a worldly success and prosperity, which is an absolute letdown and unfulfilling for your life. And then there is godly success and godly prosperity, which is absolutely fulfilling and meaningful. Because it has a divine purpose and a relationship with your Creator attached to it. Remember, listen to this. God's version of success looks much different from the worldly counterfeit version of success. Ready for this? Here's what the Holy Spirit told me. I love this. Don't forget this. Ready? Worldly success is external only. Godly success is internal and external. You got both going on. Why? There's no sorrow attached to it. Are you following me? Let me say it one more time. Worldly success is external only. That's why you got millionaires, billionaires that have so much stuff externally, but they're a mess on the inside and they're committing suicide every day. That's why you got actors. Jim Carrey even said, he said, you know what? This whole rich and fame thing isn't what it's cracked up to be. Are you following me? But godly success is internal and it includes external as well. There's no sorrow attached to it. So you can never judge alignment to God's plans with sinful and worldly characteristics. Now follow me here. Erase your definition of success based on fleshly and worldly results and characteristics. Your godly version of success must be aligned with the word and the will of God. Remember, listen to this. Godly success and prosperity, it always begins on the inside first. That's why out of the issues of life, where is it coming from? Your heart. It begins internally. First, say internally. It begins internally with a clean and pure heart. Sometimes, listen to this. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. You ready for this? Here we go. Sometimes godly success looks like leaving a 6-digit-a-year secular job to fulfill your God-given calling in ministry. Amen. Oh, someone got it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Sometimes godly success includes a pay cut. That's why you can't judge the will of God based on only external things and on your bank account. More worldly stuff doesn't always mean godly success and prosperity. Godly success and prosperity comes down to this. Ready? You are in the will of God in every area of your life. If your version of success violates, you got to get this now. Are you ready? If your version of success violates even one part of the word of God, it's not true godly success. Oh, let me give you a little tip of what I'm talking about. How about someone who, a secular musician who's talking about witchcraft and sex and drinking and all this, and then they go up to get an award and they thank God for this award. Well, they ain't the God of the Bible. Hello, somebody. If it violates one area of the word, it's not godly success. Oh, come on, somebody. Biblical prosperity is more than financial. It's success in every area of your life, beginning with never violating. Don't violate the righteous standards in the Word of God. If you have to violate the commands in the Word of God, it's not from God. It's just that simple. Amen? And it will not produce righteous results. Why? Because the seed is corrupt, sowing and reaping. Listen. God also reminded Joshua that he would always be with him to help. But, listen to me, only if the conditions were met that God gave Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be dismayed. Don't give in to discouragement. Be very courageous. Some things that God will command you or lead you to do, are you ready for this? Will be risky to your natural mind. Let me say it again. Some things that God will tell you or command you to do or lead you to do, it's going to be risky to your natural mind. That's why he said, when I tell you to do something, be strong, have good courage. Don't be discouraged. And there will be much opposition to it by people and the enemy at times. When things really start to look, if you're following and obeying God and you're feeling this discouragement try to come on you and you feel like you're kind of going down a little bit, get ready. If you're staying faithful to God, you're getting ready to rocket ship. Amen. You know what God reminded me of? The stock market. Many times before a stock shoots right up, you know what it does? It drops. It has a steep drop, and everyone's like, oh, no, oh, no, and they sell, and then the thing goes, whoop, and they're like, oh, why did I sell? Here's my thing to you. Don't sell out with discouragement, because if you're staying faithful to God, it's just a matter of time until your stock starts to skyrocket. Come on. What's that stock? Your life, your ministry, your calling. Come on. And then God commanded. And he really warned Joshua. He said this, to observe to do all of God's commands. Be obedient to the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Verbally speak the word of God as you meditate and think on it. Then it would make Joshua's way prosperous. And then he would have good success. Listen, if Joshua didn't follow God's instructions, he wouldn't have been prosperous, and he wouldn't have had good success. See, yeah, but God told him that. Yeah, but he also gave him some conditions to follow. See, we got too many lazy Christians in the body of Christ. Well, God's word says this, but God's saying, but you got to do your part. You got to do your part too, amen? So it would have been a different outcome if Joshua wouldn't followed God's instructions. So God is telling Joshua the difference between prosperity and failure. God is literally giving Joshua and us step-by-step instructions in the Word of God on how to prosper and be successful in this life. Not by the world's standards, but by his standards. And that's the only one that matters. Amen? That is a good father. He is helping and teaching us. Ready? Remember I said last week, trying to figure life out. How many of you know we're trying to figure life out, right? We're still trying to figure, anybody trying to still figure some things out in learning in the word? We're still trying to figure it. We're working this thing out, right? A meaningful relationship with your heavenly father will get you places that worldly ways of doing things will never reach. Why? Because God's favor is supernatural. Amen? So the correction, so the first thing, the first point for failure and lack, the point that the Holy Spirit gave me, he said unconfessed sin. The correction or solution for that is to repent, confess your sin. God, I sinned. I'm not hiding it. I'm not trying to cover it. You see it all anyways. Forgive me, Lord. I'm done. I messed up. And then move forward in obedience to the word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Don't try to cover your sin. Number two, here's the second point, and this one is going to be real fun. I kind of had to plow through that first one, but this one, oh my, we got to get a revelation of this thing. The second reason for failure and lack in our life that the Holy Spirit revealed to me is a failure to steward or manage properly what we already have in our possession. Oh, did you just hear what I said? A failure to steward or manage properly what we already have in our possession. See, God can multiply what we have, can he? You believe God can multiply it? The five loaves and two fishes, that proves God can multiply anything. Listen to this. The definition of the word steward means this: to manage or to look after. In a biblical sense, it means someone that is entrusted with managing resources or responsibilities, ready, on the behalf of another. Who do you think that another is? God, your creator. You must be aware of, you must be conscious of, and understand this big biblical truth if you desire to live a godly life of prosperity and success. Are you ready? Here's what you got to understand. If you don't get this, you're going to live a frustrated life. Yay, as a Christian. Ready? Here it is. Say, I'm listening. We came into this earth with nothing, and we will leave this earth with zero, nothing. You understand that? You got to get that deep in your heart, in your spirit right now. Everything we have that is good, that is godly provision for our life, it came from God. Amen? Here's what you got to get deeper into your spirit. We are not the owners of anything. We are stewards. We are managers of things, stuff, and people. Amen. We're just stewards. We're managers. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't see my name in that at all. Do you? I don't know, unless I missed it. See, don't let paper titles and paper deeds fool you. Sorry, register. Don't let paper titles or deeds fool you, because we don't own any of it. The beginning of your prosperity journey on this earth must begin and end with you understanding that God gave you things, God gave you people in your life to steward, to manage properly with godly principles. We don't own anything. If I can't get you to believe and understand that, this sermon won't go any further. It's done. Are you following me? We are stewards of our finances. We are stewards of our relationships, friendships. We are stewards of our children. We are stewards of our marriages. We are stewards of our jobs, of our gifts, our callings. I mean, we're even stewards of our physical body. We don't even own this thing. Are you following me? The Lord owns it all. You got to come to that place. In fact, if you'll get a revelation of that you don't even own your physical body, you know what? I think that's going to help. That might even help you receive physical healing even quicker. Think about that. That's free. That wasn't even in here. That was like revelation right on the spot. Think about that. You don't even own your physical body. If we keep that truth fresh in our heart, I guarantee you that we would do a better job with every area of our life. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Knowing that God is watching, that he's really the true boss here. Our Heavenly Father expects us to manage and rule his stuff in a righteous way. This is why God commands us in his word. Are you ready for this? I mentioned it a few sermons ago. Get wisdom, get understanding. Why? Now it all makes sense with this message. Because we're managers. We get wisdom, we get understanding to know how to manage every area of our life in a godly way. It all makes sense now. That is the purpose of wisdom and understanding, how to manage what we already have in our life. When we fail to manage any part of our life in accordance with the Word of God, with the will of God, it's just a matter of time before we will eventually suffer. Come on, failure, lack, come on, some kind of loss in that specific area of our life. The Holy Spirit, when I was writing this, this is really the crux of my message. Yeah, there's two other points which are important, but this one, he really hammered down. I could feel the weight, you know what I'm saying? The weight of this point. The Holy Spirit made it very clear to me. Now, let's go through a couple passages here that will drive this point home more. We don't own anything. We're stewards. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. You know what? And knowing this point should make you sleep better at night as well, because you don't own it. You're just a manager. Matthew 7, 24 through 29. I want you to start looking at everything in the Word of God, every command, every precept, every bit of wisdom. Are you ready for this? That the Holy Spirit's training us how to manage areas of our life that he owns. Look at this. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, Jesus said these words, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fail, for it was founded on the rock. I'm giving you reasons today how to avoid failure and lack. Hello? Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, listen to this, that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus taught us to build our life, to steward, to manage every part of our life based on his commandments in the Word of God. Now you know why the enemy fought so hard to take the Ten Commandments out of schools. Why the enemy fights so hard to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses. Come on, somebody. If we do that, it's a solid foundation. When we build our life on the Word, the commands of Jesus, of the Word of God, if we do that, it's a solid foundation that will be able, ready for this, to withstand the storms of life. And if we don't do that, those areas in our life that we aren't doing it God's way will eventually fail, suffer damage, lack, and loss. I find it interesting in verses 28 and 29 that the people were astonished at Jesus' teaching because he taught them, I like this, as one that had authority and not as scribes. Ready for this? Jesus taught as one that had authority because he is the owner of everything. He's the owner of it all. That's why he taught with authority. He's the king. He's the Lord. He's the boss. That's why he taught as authority, with authority. And guess what? And he is teaching us how to manage his stuff in our life, in this life. Jesus is the owner. He's the Lord. We are his managers. And that's why he's given us his authority to manage his stuff and to operate in kingdom business. What? Until he returns. Isn't that what a manager does? In a secular business, they're kind of the second in command, acting on behalf of the owner, what? In their absence. They're the manager's really the one getting down and dirty and in the business and having to do everything, right? They're carrying on with the business, and the boss is just overseeing things. Do I have any bosses of businesses in here, owners of businesses? I know I got a few. but a manager is right down in it. We, listen, we don't own anything. Again, you're going to hear me say this a lot. We are managers of God's people and kingdom affairs on this earth and stuff. Now, of people, what am I talking about? I'm talking about as parents, as a boss, as spiritual leaders, right? We are also managers of his farm on this earth because we are sowing seeds of his word, of his kingdom in the hearts. We are kingdom managers by making disciples. Amen? Wow, I'm plowing through this thing. I already am page 8. All right, here we go. Now, this next passage is full of instructions on how to be an effective steward or manager of God's stuff. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This whole passage, verses 19 through 34, when I turned to it, it highlighted to me. Originally, I just had Matthew 6, 33, and then I turned to it in my Bible as I was studying and writing this, and all of a sudden, this whole passage of 19 through 34 got illuminated to me by the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And what comes out of the heart? The issues of life. What's the treasure of your heart? If it's not God, eventually, things in your life, you're going to suffer failure, lack, and loss. Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Remember, everything we're reading, anytime you read the word, think of it in terms of, wow, God's training me to be a manager of his kingdom stuff. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. You have one boss. You have one boss. Have you ever had someone come into your workplace and they tried to play boss when they weren't the boss, telling you what to do? And you're like, what? Who are you? What are you? You know, you kind of shove them off because, you know, you're answering to the main boss. You following me? Listen, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Therefore, I say to you, here it is, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? We have a hummingbird feeder in our yard, and I'm thinking, you know what? God used us. Listen to this. When you put something up for the birds to feed them or an animal, God's using you to provide for the animals. And God uses people to bring things into our life. Isn't that something? Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? That's rhetorical. He's saying nobody. Worrying doesn't do anything for you. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven or fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. The unsaved are seeking it and running after that. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But here's the training for kingdom managers. Are you ready? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. How many times have we heard that? But here's what I want you to put it in there. You need to think of it in terms of Jesus training you to be a kingdom steward or manager of his stuff. Jesus is telling us to seek, to focus on, put an effort into your relationship with your heavenly Father. Seek first how the, oh, here it is. This is what he's saying. Seek first how the kingdom of God and his righteousness operates. If you get hired at a business, don't you got to figure out how that business operates? Doesn't each business have its different procedures? You know, a lot of times we read this verse and we just think, oh, things are just going to magically appear in our life, right? No, what Jesus is telling us to seek his righteousness, it's saying seek how the kingdom operates. And then put it into practice. Did you catch that? Yeah. So now, something that many Christians read that and take the responsibility out, Pastor James just ruined it for you. And put your responsibility back on it. We need to figure out the procedures of the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling us how to be good, godly, successful stewards or managers of what God has given us right now. And then he says this, ready? Then I'll add more. Say more. Focusing on fear and worry will cut off the flow of provision. Not because God's angry at you. Not because God doesn't want to give it to you, but because we are activating the spiritual law of faith and stewardship of our thought life in the wrong direction. Fear and worry is faith in reverse. Let me say it again. Fear and worry is faith in reverse. That's what, listen, we need to figure out these spiritual laws that's talked about in the Word of God. Let's just, for basic sake, let's just call them, ready? The procedures of the kingdom. We got to figure out what the procedures of the kingdom are and then put them into action. And fear and worry, they're not in the procedure. You're doing it the wrong way. You're cutting off your flow of provision. Are you following me? Jesus is telling us, first of all, he's saying to control, discipline, and manage your thought life in accordance to the kingdom of God, which is faith and trust in God. Amen? If we manage our thought life properly, guess what's going to happen? Our spoken words will follow that positive flow pattern. It'll follow that positive flow or focus or thought pattern, all right? And here's what you got to do. A lot of times people, this is where the name it and claim it thing gets it wrong, a bad name, right? People, they do one positive confession and they think they're done with it. Are you following me? All that faith stuff doesn't work. All the power in your spoken words doesn't work. I spoke that thing one time. I didn't get anything. You ready for this? This is what Jesus is saying. You got to have a pattern of it. Thank you, Lord. You got to have a consistent pattern of it. A consistent pattern of faith thought. A consistent pattern of positive spoken words. A consistent pattern of good works, of actions that are in line with the word. Are you following me? So that's where the word of faith movement gets a bad name, because someone spoke something one time and said, this thing's a bunch of junk, it don't work. No, it's a pattern of these things. You stick with it, you be faithful with it, you watch what happens in your life, amen? Secondly, Jesus is telling us, and I mentioned a minute ago, but to have our actions align with the word of God. And those things, when managed properly, will release supernatural provision into your life. There's a reason why the enemy is trying to get into your thought life. There's a reason why the enemy's trying to get you to release curses out of your mouth. There's a reason why the enemy wants you to think negatively. There's a reason why he wants you to speak against the word of God. Are you following me? What do you think that reason is? The enemy doesn't want you following. Come on, the procedures of the kingdom of God. The entire passage I just read in Matthew chapter 6 has everything to do with Jesus training us to be good stewards, good managers of his creation and what we currently have in our life. Yes, we must properly invest what we currently have. Who used the word invest today? Someone, I heard the word invest. Ah, yes, that was during prayer, pre-service prayer. Invest. We must properly invest what we currently have. If you can't, listen to this, if you can't properly manage what you currently have in your life, there will not be an increase. Did you just hear what I said? If you can't properly manage what you currently have in your life, there will not be an increase, but rather lack, damage, and loss. He will take what, in fact, he even said this to me. He said, he'll even take what someone has and give it to someone who knows how to invest it. Well, think about this. If you had an investment guy who was horrible, he was losing money hand over fist for you, are you going to stick with that person? Why would God stick with us if we're not investing properly? His kingdom stuff. Think about that. God will not, bless you. God will not open new doors in your life if you aren't here, ready for this? If you aren't in the proper kingdom mindset and discipline level necessary to handle an increase. Oh, my. It is all about the biblical knowledge and the biblical wisdom that you put into action and practice in your life. Y'all doing okay out there? Now, on this last point, I have one final verse. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, 7 through 10. Almost done with the message, but not quite. Proverbs 3, 7 through 10. Such good wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look at this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Why? Because he owns them. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The Word of God commands us and warns us not to be wise in our own eyes, but rather to fear or reverence the Lord and what? Depart from evil. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. If you're not departing from evil, you haven't even entered wisdom yet. Are you following me? By the way, you know, we always talk about how we're commanded to trust God, have faith in him, right? Which is true, right? But the Lord told me this about the fear of the Lord. Having the fear of the Lord causes God to have faith in us and trust us. God's not going to trust us, ready, if we don't hate evil. Did you just hear what I said? God's not going to trust you with anything if you, number one, don't hate evil, which is the fear of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father is revealing to us how to be good stewards or managers of what he has given us to prevent, come on, damage, lack, and loss in our life. A part of being a good steward or a manager is to honor the Lord with our possessions, with everything in our life, with the first fruits of all of our increase. There needs to be, ready for this? Oh, here we go. Remember I just talked about there needs to be a pattern of those things which we talked about? There needs to be a pattern of honoring the Lord in your life. There needs to be a pattern. There needs to be a proven pattern of you honoring the Lord. Don't just do it one time and then go back into the world and think things are going to change. Say pattern. If you want to prosper and succeed in this life, you must honor the Lord with everything you have that he has given you. If you will honestly dig, listen, if you or me, if all of us, if we would honestly dig into any area of our life that we're struggling, whatever, it's financial, marriage, relationships, the list goes on, we would find areas. Come on, let's be honest with ourselves right now. Can we be honest with ourselves? If there's an area of our life where we're struggling and we're having loss, damage, and lack, ready? We will find areas where we are not honoring the Lord in those areas. It's just that simple. We will find things, and guess what we need to do? We need to correct it. We need to tweak it. We need to get it back on the right course. Ready? Ready? Are you ready? To have a pattern of honoring the Lord in that thing. When we choose to honor God in a certain area of our life, we will eat. When we choose not to honor God in a certain area of our life, we will eventually suffer, again, the consequences of damage, lack, and loss. Honoring God means this. Ready? Acknowledging. You acknowledge that it all belongs to Him. That's the first thing you need to do. That's the very first thing. In fact, remember this. Don't hold on to anything too tight in this world. Oh, I'm never going to get rid of that house. Oh, I'm never going to get rid of Tweety Bird. Listen, I even told God, God, if you ever want me to sell Tweety, I will sell it. I'm serious. It doesn't belong to me anyways. It belongs, right? Come on. He blessed us with it. So I'm not, you know. So honoring God means that, number one, you acknowledge that everything belongs to Him and you are managing it for Him, for His glory and not for your own glory. And then after you acknowledge that fact, you must use everything to glorify Him with it. We would take so much, listen, we would take so much better care of the things in our life if we keep that in mind, that we own nothing and that we will take nothing into eternity. Nothing. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I've never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse to the cemetery. At least not for my mom's funeral. I didn't see it, right? This life is a test. Say test. In the Holy Spirit even said this, this life is a job shadowing by the Holy Spirit to determine, ready, how much authority and responsibility that you will have in eternity. It's job shadowing by the Holy Spirit. It's a test. God is paying attention. Listen to me. God is paying very close attention to every area of our life. We correct this lack of stewardship, this lack of proper management with, number one, getting biblical wisdom, getting biblical understanding, and putting it into practice into every area of our life. And consistently, say consistently, honoring God with it all. Every command, every precept, every principle in the Word of God, in the Bible, is training for us on how to be managers of God's stuff and His kingdom. And I'm on page 10. And this last point, I'm just it's very brief. I'm not going to dig into it. I might go into it in a later time. But the last reason for failure and lack in our life, the Holy Spirit gave me to share with you today, is this: giving into spiritual warfare from the enemy. Willingly giving up. Given into spiritual warfare from the enemy. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said. Now remember, the enemy can't do that unless there's an open door in your life. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? The open door that we give the kingdom of darkness is taking their bait. Ready for this? Oh, taking their bait of draining our spiritual energy and blurring our spiritual vision. I'm talking about pursuing and focusing. This is what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to pursue and focus on the wrong things, negative things that drain us physically and drain us spiritually. He's trying to drain you and I. That's why the Word of God says, stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you following me?
Yes.
Stay filled. Constantly stay filled. Why? Because we leak. Sometimes some leak more than others. Are you following me? There is nothing more effective that the enemy does to Christians than to distract us from what, he's trying to distract us from the things of God, from the Word of God. He's trying to get us, right here, ready? Not to abide in Christ. Jesus is called the true vine. What comes through a vine? Water. What does it give? Strength. It gives life. So the enemy's trying to get us to disconnect from the Word. You know where the first place disconnection takes place? Thought life. That's the only thing. That's the only thing the enemy can do, is try to get in your thought life. Don't give it to him. Don't give it to them. Our source, Jesus Christ, is our source of peace, joy, and strength. And by the way, demons will use people to accomplish that mission, to try to drain you physically and spiritually. When we allow the enemy to influence us in a negative way and shift our focus, if we don't recognize it and fight against it with our will, it will eventually lead, ready? To failure, lack, and loss in our life. It will, you know what it'll lead to? Are you ready? It will lead to physical and spiritual burnout. Anybody hear a burnout before? Oh, yeah. Burnout's a real thing. That's what I'm saying. It drains your physical and your spiritual. You don't feel like doing anything. It makes you feel like this. I don't have any fight in me left. Anybody ever feel that way? You don't have any fight in you left. That's what the enemy's trying to get you to the place of. Don't let him do it. The kingdom of darkness is trying to discourage and wear down the saints from pursuing the will of God for our life. They're trying to throw confusion into our thought life so we won't steward and we won't manage God's stuff properly in our life. Again, wherever there has been personal failure, personal lack, personal loss in our life, it can always be traced back to poor management, poor decision making with what God gave us at the time. So the three points or reasons the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with you today that are major reasons for personal failure and lack in our life are, number one, unconfessed sin. Number two, a failure to properly steward or manage what God has already given us. And number three, giving in to spiritual warfare from the enemy. Church, we must understand that we own nothing, not even our physical body. It all belongs to God, and he has high expectations. Amen? If we will do our part to steward and manage every area of our life well, in a godly way, and stay within the will of God for our life, we will never suffer that kind of failure or lack, but rather we will prosper. Come on. And we will have good success in everything we put our hand to. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on down. Hallelujah. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you're not even at the starting line because you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I'm telling you, the moment you take your last breath, it's hell and the lake of fire for eternity. We don't want that for you. You don't, even though you don't know it now, you don't want it for you. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, come down right now and just pray with one of the prayer team members. Maybe this message really hit home. Maybe you have suffered a lot of failure and lack, and today was part of that missing piece of the puzzle. A light bulb went off, and you understand it now. You understand that you are a steward. You are God's manager on this earth while he's away. And today you want to do a better job of that. Come down and just say, hey, this message really touched me. Can you pray for me today? If you want to rededicate your life, come on down and pray with them. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They'll pray with you to receive power to be a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Amen. All right, visitors, we love you. Come back again. You're not a visitor again then. All right, have a great week.
Just a few She's announcements. First of all, let's just say that was a fire message, right? And I would encourage everybody to share these messages to family, friends, whoever. Share the messages. They're power-packed, filled with the Word of God. Let's start sharing what Pastor works so hard on every week. Get it out into the community. But just a few announcements. So we have a newsletter that's right by the door that gives all the weekly events at Living Waters Chapel. So I'd encourage you to pick one of those up on your way out. We have a sign-up sheet for Mike Bearden's Celebration of Life for the luncheon. That is this Friday, August 22nd, and visitation is from 10 to 11, and the service is at 11 a.m. The church is providing ham and scalloped potatoes, so we need everything else. The list just went out today, so sorry about that, but It's on that back table. So please sign up to bring something, even if you can bring it Wednesday night to service. We need to fill that list. So please hear me out on this. Please fill that list up today. Stacy always needs volunteers for nursery. I'm always looking for children's church teachers. And also, the Primetimers lunch will be this Thursday at 12 o'clock at the Rails End. Everybody have a wonderful week. We love you, and God bless. Come up for prayer if you need it. Looks pretty empty up here.